Welcome to the Osteo Connection, the number one podcast for osteopaths looking to expand their minds and improve their practice. I'm Kevin Lockbray.
I'm Jason Turnbull.
And I'm Dr. Sean Landry. And if you're new here, welcome. This show is dedicated to bridging the gap between your formal education and real-world practice success.
Join us every week where we share our combined 50 years of practice experience, talk tips, strategies, and interview rock stars in the business.
Welcome back, everyone. The OC once again, solo today with my one partner in crime.
Yes.
Dr. Sean Landry. I am Kevin Lockbray, your host today. And we are missing, it sounds a bit hollow.
Yeah. Hold on. Okay. Let's see. I'm pretty sure we got it. We got both ears. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, that's all right. Anyways. So, yeah, we're missing J-Bone Turnbull today. Yeah.
Where is that guy? I haven't seen him in a few weeks now.
Jay has broken his arm.
Oh.
He tried an attempt of getting out of figure skating, and he went to play hockey, and look what happened. He blocked a shot, broke his ulna. So it's pretty crazy, eh?
There we go. We had an open channel. That's better. Open channel. Figuring it out. The mixer.
So yeah, broken open fracture. Had to have a plate, 7 screws. So he is in recovery right now.
He definitely had a few screws loose, right?
He definitely did. I thought for sure he was going to come today.
I know. But bizarre.
Maybe his feet are broken as well.
I don't know. I know. So, yeah, it's not like his mouth is broken.
No. So that's it. So it is me and you today.
Thank you for having me.
As always, it is a pleasure, Sean.
Yeah. So thank you for having my mustache and myself here today.
Your it's mustache, thick now, huh? It is thick.
That's see, 10, well, 10 days in the sun.
Dude, I just keep hearing the theme song from Magnum PI.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I don't know, anyone will get
10 days in the sun gave it some growth. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just totally thick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep doing it. Suits you.
As I say, Kelly keeps saying, how long are you keeping that thing? I said, I don't know. Just long enough. So when I look back in pictures, I'm like, that may or may not have been
a
good idea.
Phase?
Yeah. It's fun though. You get some, again, the funniest is the patients that I haven't seen in a while. Kind of give you a double take when they see you.
They're like,
oh yeah. Today it was classic. Today I had someone say, you look weird. I mean, different, different. I was like, you can say weird. It's okay.
I think I like it.
You look weird. I mean, different. Yeah. I mean, different. Yeah.
Nice. No.
What do you got for us today?
Well, today we're going to dive into the self-care category again.
Self-care.
Yeah, self-care. Because, you know, we're always talking about, you know, patients and different things in and around treating people and different philosophies and things like that on that. But obviously, like we've said many times, if we don't take care of ourselves, you know, how are we supposed to take care of others? So it is really, really key. I know, Sean, we always tell that airplane analogy. Since you're coming back from Florida, feel free to try.
Yeah, this is one that has definitely started to make sense to me over the last few years. And I guess it's just, you know, as you go through life and you kind of, I would say when you're young, you have this invincibility complex where you think nothing ever can ever happen to you. Or, and then I think it's also, like we say, shoemaker's shoe. We enter into a profession where we're actually taking care of others, right? Yeah. So you rarely leave time for yourself. And just on the plane, every time you fly, they use that analogy where, or it's not even an analogy, they tell you in their whole spiel at the start of the flight where you need to, in the event that the oxygen masks deploy, you need to put your oxygen mask on first, right?
Yeah.
Because for most, the reflex is, oh, I got to help my kids or I got to help the person next to me. But if you don't help yourself first and, you know, that cabin pressure and the oxygen levels drop, well, you might pass out and then you're no good to anyone.
That's right.
So that is, and we see this theme a lot with our patients, and, you know, young mothers, right, where they're, or even mothers, I mean, Jason talks about this often, right? He notices as kids start to leave the nest, right, and you know, moms and or parents have given themselves to their kids, right, and lost a bit of their own identity in the process, right? And so what we're going to talk about is the flip side of that, because we help counsel patients all and clients all the time on this, right? So making sure that they invest in themselves, understanding why they're in pain or dysfunction, really understanding what the root causes of it, why this ailment they've been presented, this problem to dive into and to listen to and to look and to make changes, right? But again, we also are people, and we have to do the same exercise. And I know we talk a lot about business, but this is essential to here on this podcast, but this is essential to your practice. And when you actually take the time and reflect and work on yourself, you will then be better able to handle and care for your community and your clients. And if you don't look in the mirror, as we say, if you don't look under the rug, it'll hit you in the face at some point.
Sure. But you're completely right. It's like you become such a better balance point by you yourself working on the things that you're creating resistance in you. You know, like now, whether or not, like we've done podcasts on, you know, taking care of yourself in the sense of taking time for yourself, exercising, making sure you're eating right, getting into some better habits, perhaps.
Morning routines, nighttime routines.
We've talked about routines to nauseam, about meditation, to journaling, to all these different things. These are fantastic, fantastic ways to help mitigate stress, help improve your strength, and take care of the body that we are currently using as a vehicle in this dimension. So like it is so key to take care of that, obviously. And then I think what we'll dive into today is we're going to go even a step further, is like in terms of working on yourself, what are some other things? We'll try and have many podcast episodes on this.
I think this would be a good series, actually.
Yeah. We'll do a bit of a series on the deep dive into self. What are some things we've done that have either worked, not worked, been very difficult? We've definitely done a few.
It's funny you say work, not work. I said they all work. It's just what can you learn from them, right? They all work in certain ways. One might be it still works. I would say even the things that
define what work.
Exactly. even the things that quote unquote in the moment, that was a waste of time, right? They're working.
Oh yeah.
Right. They're working in ways that you might not be able to see then and there. Right. So it's really interesting, you know,
expectations get in the way quite often. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, it's like people talking about, when they would ask about, anytime we talked about ayahuasca and you know, I can't see myself doing that. I'd be too nervous. I'd be too afraid to go there. And then I've known people that are, you know, work their way up to potentially going and then come back and say, oh, it wasn't really anything that helped me out that much. And because, you know, they went in with a particular expectation of working on something in particular, but that's potentially not what they needed. And what they got was exactly what they needed, but they didn't think that was relevant. So it's an interesting game when it comes to certain strategy like that. And obviously too, you got to be careful on what you're doing, taking, going to, making sure that it resonates with you. Cause it really is important that you take time to reflect and see if this is potentially something you really want to do. So let's
dive in, Kev. So sure. I know, you know, I hadn't seen you. We had spring break up here in our neck of the woods, and you were off for a week, and then I left for the week after, so I hadn't seen you. But I knew you were heading there. but you were doing some interesting stuff. So let's tell our audience a little bit about the experience and the things you're currently working on, and
yeah.
and you know how and why. Kind of give us a bit of the background of what piqued your interest in this route, right, that you're on, and this neat area of healing that you're exploring. And how it first started, and finally what led to you deciding to go this past weekend.
Yeah. Well, to back up how I got involved with some of this. So basically what I did was I went to a constellation. So for those of you that aren't aware of what a constellation therapy is a technique that Bert Hellinger from Germany, who has since passed, but a psychologist developed this technique alongside German New Medicine. Quite often people that have a better understanding of German New Medicine will dip into a bit of the constellation stuff to help with what is traumas in the lineage.
Okay.
So for those of you listening that, let's say...
We can run some parallels too with the trauma course or the...
Yeah.
Yeah, the courses that you're doing or you've done before with spasms.
And sure, of course. Yeah.
Actually, which would be really cool.
We'll talk about that after because there is a correlation with what they call a Dr. Hammer
the lesion or
yeah, yeah. like the what do they call that again? A focus point. Anyways, I'm having a memory block right now. It's like a blockage point in the brain. Representing the trauma, but very specific to what type of trauma and what type of conflict that would affect that type of trauma.
Yeah, maybe give us a bit of a background before we hop into constellations.
Yeah.
Your path with German pneumatic German medicine, right?
So
new Germanic medicine, right?
Yep.
Or yeah.
Yep. So I came across this probably years ago, and I remember even again like you mentioned about the osteopathy. Off the postgrad courses on the brain, they had actually mentioned, when I look back on my notes later, German New Medicine in the notes. But I only took this probably about 5-6 years ago. And it was offered here in Montreal. It's in Canada anyways. There's places in Toronto that give it. I know in the States they also have a lot of people that teach German New Medicine. And basically, in a nutshell, German New Medicine is causation of disease. So it's basically the explanation of the perception's impact on biological response in the body.
Okay. So yeah, 5 biological laws, right?
Yes. So 5 biological laws, they have a strict set of rules that the body operates under. So
yeah, the organism, right?
Yeah. So whether it's the 3 levels of tissue, so endoderm, mesoderm, and ectoderm, and depending on what tissue is being affected, we know how is it coming from the new brain, the old brain.
Is that where the Germanic comes from?
The Germanic comes from
the German layers?
No, I don't think so. I think it's because of Dr. Hammer, who was a German.
Yeah?
Pretty sure.
I've always made that association because you talk about the germ layers.
Yeah, but I'm not certain that's why they called it that.
Okay.
Because yeah. You see, most often it's new German medicine.
Okay, new German medicine. Yeah. Okay. I made that early kind of like thought association when you talked about that years ago. And because you always talk about the germ layers and how the body evolves and develops based on, like you say, trauma and conflict and or not, right?
Yeah.
And then
So for example, like the most common conflict will that people will totally understand and probably see it a gazillion times a day in their office when they see people is devaluation.
Yeah. So explain conflicts. Actually, that's a really good starting point. So
conflicts obviously is like
life
is life. Yeah. So it's, but obviously for that person, for it to be a conflict has to be, you know, impactful. Like we're not talking about some small issue here. This is something that really at the root of things has a deep impact on
Modern day philosophers actually call it, I mean, they'll like, you know, Gabor Mate, you know, big trauma, little trauma, right? Big T, right? So it's the stuff you're experiencing, like you say, that is that I would kind of add to that, like roots down and anchors itself somewhere in the body, right? Or
well, and so the way it works, so for those of you obviously familiar with the autonomic nervous system, so the conflict or trauma itself, which they call a DHS, which is the actual initials of his son, one of his sons that passed, because the issue with them is that they had one of their sons who passed away. Dr. Hammer is an oncologist, and his wife, I forget what his wife was, an internist, or I can't remember what discipline she was in, but also
and he developed cancer post.
He and she
okay.
developed both
testicular cancer,
ovarian and testicular cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he had already started noting that there were just many trauma-specific correlations with the cancer patients he was having in his office. And so then they really started taking a deep dive after they themselves had
experienced
had this,
it.
Had mm-hmm. this. And so the gist of what they talk about is that the acute effect of the trauma will be start to affect the biological response,
the physiology
in
yeah.
the body. For a lot of conditions, the symptoms don't show up in the acute phase. It's in the repair phase. So once
the
body falls into the first phase of repair, which there are two.
So a repair could be, like you say, the actual, let's say in a cancer, it could be the tumor formation, right? The encapsulation, the response, the tissue response, right?
Yep.
Or others, inflammation or...
Inflammation.
Right.
It could be, yeah.
Arthrosis, right? It could, this is as the body is adapting to the, like you say, to the homeostatic changes, the stress, the conflict, the trauma. Sets in a certain area based on, like you say, the experience and then just does its natural response to try and heal, right?
So yeah, there'll be necrosis of tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to break down and make stronger,
yep.
So if
to rebuild, yeah.
So if there's necrosis of a particular joint, well, that's because depending on its representation. You are trying to rebuild that joint stronger in order to withstand something in your environment that is
causing that you
conflict.
Need to, there you go. You need to resist and or withstand.
Or it creates masses.
Okay.
So you either have
cyst formation,
formation, tumor formation. So, and then that way there's proliferation of tissue and stuff like that. So it's a very, very interesting.
And it's cool because, I mean, just again, piggybacking off the foundational principles of osteopathy, of chiropractic, right? The body is innately wise, right?
Yeah.
And it is adapting to the environment, right? Internally and externally. And it is doing what it needs to do in order to, I always use the analogy of robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? So it's, and it's using, you know, its own innate intelligence to
adapt you to the environment.
Exactly. Adapt you to the environment and to keep you going from point A to point B, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Is then sometimes and quite often, the original programming conflict or trauma is not yours.
This is very fascinating. So this is the stuff that for some of us, right, depending on where you're at in practice and life experience might be, you know, might have a hard time opening up to this idea, right?
Sure.
And seeing that, wait a second, someone else's conflict can be mine. But think about this in terms of, you know, we all do this. I was listening to a podcast the other day and they say, you know, they're talking about things you can't see, right? Radio waves, microwaves, their impact on your environment, right? So, well, guess what? We are also batteries and, you know, we're signaling our energy and, you know, they can now with different devices, they can actually see or, you know, people can see and read aura. And so your energy will affect, and we've felt this, someone else's energy, right? And even just their mood or their emotions can bring you down and or affect your experience, right? So that's a similar idea, right?
Yeah.
That these ideas or these conflicts and or these traumas, they do get passed down osmotically, unbeknownst to you maybe at the moment, right?
Yeah.
And it affects the way that you it's someone else's anchor point that is drawing you or holding you. A picture like a marionette, right? Someone's, so you're trying to move through life and all of a sudden some you're entangled to this trauma, right? And again, you know, who's the puppeteer, right?
Yeah.
Who's holding you?
They've done tons of research on this. Yeah. This is pretty. Yeah,
Rupert Sheldrake and
well, they have studies on even Holocaust survivors with their kids that weren't even present having the trauma
mm-hmm.
That the parents suffered, you know, like, yeah. And so, you know, this is something that if you really start to pay attention and seeing these, you'll normally see this in chronic cases. So chronic cases of people suffering from something and they just can't figure out. So they can't figure out where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a step further because obviously even just with a patient to get them to take responsibility, which we're big on here.
Yeah.
But so if this is not something you do often with people, I mean, I'm sure most of you in osteopathically were, you know, we do look at the body as a whole functional unit, you yep. know, and that
impact
you
know, of environment,
you are responsible for what happens to you. So right there, putting that shift in that paradigm is so crucial in someone taking their power back.
Yeah. A simple analogy we use is the three E's we talk to you guys about all the time that we use in practice, right? Where it's the engage, educate, and empower, right? Making sure that they are the ones that understand that they're driving this car they've been giving and they have the power to choose to go this way or that way. Right. But when you give your power away and you don't invest in this stuff, well, then you can end up down a road you don't want to be on, right? So, so empowerment. Mm-hmm.
So that's it. So the constellations are basically then a method to go and investigate where the trauma is coming from. What generation is it from? So the way it's done.
So Kev, I'll preface too. So sure. Kevin, last Sunday actually attended. So you've gone before, to work and to help with a constellation exercise ceremony or whatever. What do they call it? A constellation
session,
right? Sure. So, but this is the first time you were actually being one of the characters, right?
In a group.
No. You were the first where you were actually there to work on stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you've gone to help others work on this, but this is your first one. Kev's been dealing with a hip issue for a number of years, right? And mm-hmm. you know, working on in various ways here and there. And as we say, sometimes like shoemaker shoes, sometimes not working on it, right? Because we get busy and we help others and we don't find time for ourselves. But the last I've seen it, I guess probably because you've been diving into this stuff, but over the last 4 or 5 years, you've definitely been conscious about your hip and working on it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. And realizing how much resistance was actually in it.
Yeah.
yeah. It's amazing that I could remember. It made me think back doing this constellation. They ask a lot of questions before you go in, right? Just to have context on how long has it been there and
mm-hmm.
you know, what are some of the things that you think potentially are affecting it? And I can remember being in school, osteopathic school, and laying on the table and having to consciously think, relax your right leg. I had to relax my right leg. It's not like I was in a ton of pain then. It wasn't that at all. So there was already resistance there from a young age, mm-hmm. you know, and it contributed to obviously that joint degenerating and having some cartilage loss.
So he finally did an MRI. Like we've been treating, your hip physically, you know, through chiropractic, osteopathy, you know, again, all the kind of foundational principles, acupuncture, right? Mm-hmm. Massage, we've been doing all this stuff. Rehab, you name it. And then, you know, more of late, you've been kind of diving in more, as you say, on different levels, the mental, the emotional aspects of things. And it's cool. So I'm, let's hear more about this experience, this constellation.
Sure. So to give it context, the way it works is there'll be a group. So we're usually about 25 to sometimes 30 people that show mm-hmm. up, and there'll be a list of people that are there for an actual constellation. The rest of them are there just to help, to play part. So the way it works is a person in particular. So if it's me, I ended up going after lunch. So I helped out with a whole bunch in the morning. And then when it was my turn, the way it works is you would get up and they give context to the, okay, well, Kevin's here.
To the backstory?
Yeah.
So you have to fill you. So yeah, what's the process leading up to it?
The process leading up is you fill in like the, what's your objective? Like why are you
here?
Why are you here? What are you stuck on? What's the problem? And then that way it helps them, and you have to give your family tree. So at least 3 to 4 generations back, so that in the scenario, they can have people that are selected to play particular roles of people. So I got up and I had to pick who's going to play me, because you're not actually physically in it. You're observing.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. So I picked someone to play me. I picked someone to play my wife. Because the hip quite often can have it's like we said before, it's like the old scenario of two bucks fighting, an old and a young buck.
Okay.
Well, quite often, you know, it's whoever has the stronger hips that is going to win.
Okay.
So there is a tonality to that and how you push forward and how you, but then there's also a sexual aspect to the hip. There's a bunch of different layers you have to look at. So depending on the context, they'll go and pick.
Gotcha.
To set it up. So then I had a bunch of people, other like my mom and dad, and back through. It ended up being more on my mom's side of the family this time than on my dad's. And then there'll be someone selected to play the role of the hip.
Yeah.
And that what they call programmers. So there'll be someone going around to sense where something's from. Now, so what most people ask me, they say, well, okay, that's fine. You pick all these people, but then
what happens?
What happens? Okay, so this is obviously working on a whole intuitive level. Like everyone is plugged into their ancestry until they're into the person that's there.
Yeah.
And there's the same kind of context of plugging into all this before we even start. And when we do, it's like something takes over. So like you were talking about Sheldrick before. So yeah. It is the
morphogenic fields. Yeah.
So you're working in the Akashics. It's like you, where all the information is. So if you're an open person and you just really go with what you're feeling, it is unreal. The stuff that you feel playing a particular role. Because obviously we don't have any script or anything. You're going up there, and what's happening is you're noticing either like right away my hip got attached to my grandfather.
So was your grandfather there too? Someone
was playing him.
Okay.
And so what happened was they kind of, okay, we got an inkling that it's coming from over here. Well, what's going on over here? Yeah. So then they start to question, and well, how are you, what are you feeling like with respect to?
Yeah. Who's the narrator? Who's the facilitator?
So it's this, posturologist, that actually taught us the German New Medicine.
Okay.
Thierry Poitron, who's from France originally, great guy, super smart.
He's the one, he's kind of doing the,
he's like the playing, yeah.
he's the symphony, you know, yeah. the maestro and,
yeah.
And working the conductor, and he's working through, he's asking the questions and he's
yeah. Exactly. So like and it's a lot of the same faces. Like every time I've gone, there's been mostly these people that keep coming back. There's some new ones sometimes, yeah.
Hey guys, it's Sean, Kevin, and Jason here from osteomentorship.com. Today, we'd like to tell you about the Masters in Business for Osteopaths. It's an 8-week live interactive online program empowering you with a solid business framework to build your practice fuller and faster with confidence.
This live interactive program is a pivotal business training program developed by osteopaths for osteopaths that will challenge you to execute at your highest level.
Your MBO bridges the gap between your formal education and real life practice success. Please visit us at osteomentorship.com/MBA.
So that's it. They will actually start to, it can get quite complex sometimes, because sometimes
it's layers.
It takes a tangent out this line that you do not think is it's going there. Huh. And yeah.
So now coming back to this idea of like trauma or conflict, if we can fast forward just through your experience, what was the main conflict that, that kind of like, do you end up getting into that theme or do you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason it went there, I did not see this coming.
Yeah.
It was, it was weird. It was the woman playing my mom, saying that there was a secret.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, a secret. Jeez. So anyways, it ended up being down that lineage line. There was some sort of sexual deviancy.
Okay.
Something that happened, not to go too specific. And that someone had seen that.
Okay.
And found it to be, you know, distasteful, I guess.
Yeah.
So a lot of the, because devaluation in terms of self-devaluation conflicts are joints and musculature and things like that. When they break down, that's like the deepest form is the bone.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is interesting that my grandfather had bone cancer.
Interesting.
So then it's just so bizarre.
Yeah.
So that's it ended up going in that, but it took a while to kind of figure it out and get to that point, right? And there's some of them were wild, like it, you know, just not just mine, but some of them go pretty in depth. And
so, what are some other conflicts? Because we talk about conflicts, so you said devaluation conflict. What are some other kind of common? Sure.
Well, before I jump into that, I'll just tell you how. So, what happens from that?
Yeah.
Because exactly. It's great you do that, but then so now what? So the whole idea is to break away from that. It's not to, and again, everyone there is so nice and so supportive of like the whole process, and they're obviously there to help you, you know. So there's no shame in anything or any, and so the idea is like they'll do these kind of like ritualistic things of breaking away from the ties. Things that you don't own.
So cutting ties, letting go.
Exactly.
I mean, it's very similar to what we talk about, the analogy of
100%.
Yeah.
And the cutting the ties, they make it a physical thing. They'll take actual string and tie it around you and then go around all the different elements that need to be cut away.
So, so there's ceremony involved of actual...
Handing back the baggage.
Yep, handing bags.
They'll have a heavy like briefcase that you give back. Yeah. And there's usually, they'll help you kind of like... formulate some sort of like something you would say,
like a mantra.
What do you want to say to the lineage?
Yes.
So a lot of it is like, listen, you'll hear a lot of like,
thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah. Like I understand why you, or sometimes not.
Yeah.
And
you don't need to understand.
It's not mine.
Not mine to carry.
And then you'll snap the,
the
cord and that's it. And it is, I have to say, you know, it is, pretty impactful. And, you know, I've sent a lot of patients there. I've definitely helped a lot of people through, trying to get through that process. And it's really interesting to see what pops up sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how that works. In terms of other conflicts, like there aren't many, right? So you'll have, for instance, a bite complex, or you'll have,
you say,
bite conflict. So like, so quite often, let's say, you can't quite get a bite on something, you know? So a lot of people have jaw
getting
issues.
A grip or taking a bite out of life, you know, all these common terms that we often hear, right?
So you'll have a lot of, conflicts that are bite conflicts, which are, usually to do with the jaw, quite often the stomach can play roles.
Digesting.
All the digestive conflicts of being able to digest something.
Yeah.
So like these are types of conflicts where to digest a morsel. Mm-hmm. So it's not just of a physical something you're eating, it is a situation.
Just,
So you'll, for example, like obviously the,
everything is literal, right?
Yeah, you're in a situation
where language is everything.
Yeah, something happens, and you just can't accept that. You will not accept that. Well, chances are you're going to start to have
a digestive conflict or digestive
stomach
issues,
either like heartburn or digestive indigestion, things like that. And then they can get very specific when it gets into either the intestine, the colon, the liver.
So working with respect to understanding someone's history, understanding someone's, again, all that they've, you know, their health history, when their condition first arise. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, it's just another level of detective work that you're doing as a therapist in order to guide them through and potentially, you know, work towards those clues that may be kind of based on, again, physiological representation of how
signs and symptoms they're
having. Signs and symptoms they're having, and then working and unraveling into what was going on in their life, you know, big events that they lived, right? Yeah. You know, similar to what we do as osteopaths, right? Which is, it's very interesting, right? Because it's a, you know, we're already kind of doing that work just with another frame, right? Just with another viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And some of you might have already, right? Some of you listening might see it already, might, you know, oh, okay. Might have light bulbs as you're listening to this stuff go off and like, oh, yeah, that makes sense to me, or that I might need some more clarification. But
yeah,
you know, with patients or clients that you're currently treating, and
there are great resources for this too. Learninggnm.com is a great one where you can actually have an index there to look up certain things. So like, you know, quite often too, there are ones where you would never think, like any blood, anything to do with the blood disorder, things like that is issues within the clan.
Yeah.
So your role in the clan and what you feel like you have to, you know, a lot of people like having to hold the clan together has to do with iron and stuff like that. Whether you have excess or insufficiencies is two different things. So like it's fascinating once you start to see it, because it's, you know, for us it's exciting because one, you see all these, like you said before, these light bulbs going off when you're with someone and you start to see the big picture of things, which doesn't necessarily mean you might jump on that in the first session, but you know, it's stuff to make note of and see, like, you know, how open is this person to really looking at where did this really come from?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, coming back to the mental, emotional aspects of how things become the way they are. And again, it's exactly that we talk about coming full circle, but you know, your mind, your mindset, you know, and the lens that you kind of view the world and then create that world from that lens, right? And the reflection and the energy that you give off, you know, all has a lot to do with this stuff, right? So why you are the way you are. And just before we jumped on air, we were talking about just that analogy of, you know, our role here and, you know, your role, my role, your role, everyone listening out there is to work through the unmet tasks of our, you know, mothers and fathers, right? So to speak. So just in that setting, you can see the parallels between this, you know, new Germanic medicine, whereas you're osmotically, you know, let's say your parents, you know, you grew up in the household and it doesn't have to be parents. I mean, it could be people in the household too, right? It's just you're a result of the environment, right? So you're osmotically being programmed by the experiences that you're having, the experiences that others are having, the energies, right? We were saying the baggage that they or maybe or may not be carrying. And then you will be passed, right? So like an example I always use, like, let's say your father worked through alcoholism. Well, guess what? You probably won't have to work through alcoholism because he will have shed and let go of those bags that you, and then he may not pass it on to you, right? He might though, right? It might be some residuals or might skip a generation, right? You know, but
depends
you'll
if it's
see,
dealt with or not. Yeah.
Depends if it's dealt with. But if you're, you know, if your parent is conscious and working through it and you see them working through it and they're letting go of those things and they come through it, chances are they won't pass that on, but they're going to pass other stuff on to you that you need to work on, right? For good reason
that
and good
the,
measure.
The beauty of it, though, right? Like we were talking about off air before, you know, it's like the thought of like we're going to screw up our kids. Like, yeah, we are. We're going to. But it's exactly what they need
to work on.
In some sense, you know, like the you know what you're depending on what your belief system is. You know, like a lot of people think that is like they pick us, you know, like they pick us for a reason because they had to work something out in this lifetime.
Yes.
The so your exact issue now, your exact issue is exactly what they need to be able to work what it is they needed.
Yeah.
whether or not you have the consciousness to get past it is something different, but that's how we can help them the most, actually, is actually working on ourselves, right?
There you go, coming full circle. So if you are willing to see it and to actually get your head out of the sand and go there and look at it, which is what we're trying to talk to you guys about today, is actually, you know, if you feel and you have that, I need to do that, you got to do it, right?
Some cool resources for that. Like I mentioned before, we could put these in the show notes. This is thelearninggnm.com. Another thing is Dr. Mark Wolin wrote a great book called What If It Didn't Start With Me, which is a really good book on constellations, who he learned from Bert Hellinger himself. He was on a podcast, the Sounds True podcast. I forget what date that would have been on, but it's been a while now. But I send that to patients all the time as an eye-opener, just to get their feet wet with the notion that, you know, what does that mean? It was in my lineage and in my ancestry. So he's very good at explaining it. There is an actual show on Netflix called Another Self that is a Turkish show that is about constellations. And it's actually well done. So for those of you that want to see it in action a little bit, that's with a bit of context of life and all that, that's another way of seeing it.
So, okay, that being said, tell us about change. Well, I know you just did it last week, but you felt, I mean, automatically can you feel this letting go, or this thread that has been clipped? Can you?
Yeah. We were trying to talk about that before, is like, how do you know, like when you have a notion of something intellectually and then you actually go through an experience and have, a more resounding effect.
Yeah.
Well, yes. So, on many fronts, physically for sure. Mm-hmm. And there's another something they figured out while I was there. That was a little sidebar that my right leg was actually shorter than my left, which we knew.
Yeah.
But we didn't know to what degree it was maybe impacting everything. But so since having a small correction heel lift, it's actually helped quite a bit in terms of posture and helping rehab this a little bit easier. So, but there was a significant change. I'm still going through it, but definitely a change, like even within the household at home to, just personally, it's really hard to explain for now.
It's funny you say within the household. So that's a really good starting point for all of us, is to, you know, always those closest to us, right?
Yeah.
Are usually very good mirrors as to where we need to start and where we need to look. And it's usually the, like you say, the feelings of, the things that will continuously come back up in a relationship. And then if you really look, you can see those same things that happened in your, you know, mothers and fathers.
Yeah.
So that's a really good place to start as to, you know, how to want to kind of dive into and look into these things. Right. And some of these, like, again, some of these concepts, right? So like we talk about this often, but you're in the relationship business, and this will tie back in nicely to the theme of this. You're in the relationship business as an osteopath, right? Running your practice and your community. But the most important relationship you can have is with the self, right? So, healthcare is self-care. So you've got to, dive in. And we say dive in, start with the basics, right? Start with developing a good routine, eating well, moving well. You know, how do you want to, you know, how can you show up for your community and your clients if you're not taking care of yourself, right? So, you know, get brilliant at the basics. We've always said that even with our program, the MBO program, it's all about that, being brilliant at the business basics and the, you know, the procedural basics and the communication basics and that. But, you know, the most important thing is to be able to communicate with self. And, you know, oftentimes we ignore the self. We don't look at the self. We try and help others, but you can't help others unless you help yourself first. So,
and that's where all the answers are.
All the answers are there, right?
Yeah.
And if you do that, and you do that with love and consistency, and yes, sometimes it's hard to look, right? It's hard to look at the self. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to look in the mirror you know, and the brain will play big time tricks on you, right?
The ego's great for that.
The ego, right? To tell you, no, you like it here. You like the comfort that the life you've created for yourself. But, another analogy, but that if you stay stagnant, right, and there's no growth, I would say you get dusty and rusty, right? So if you don't move, motion is lotion. So you got to move. You got to continuously challenge yourself and evolve and take a look at the self and meet yourself with love, with respect often, but check in and that's it. You're in the relationship business. So number one with the self, number two with your unit that you create, right? The relationships in and around yourself, right? So your partner, your kids, your family, right? And then it's the community. So it's the same thing we always say, the me, the we, the all. Anyways, that's pretty much it. Thank you for sharing, Kev. That was really cool. Constellations. We'll dive into some other stuff that we've been doing. You know, in this line of work that we're in, mm-hmm. We meet some interesting people and some interesting ways of healing and different kind of avenues and or entry points into healing. As we've talked loosely about a bit of our ayahuasca experiences, our shamanic experiences, right? Mm-hmm. We've done some various things. And obviously, again, just the classical great osteopathy or the hypnosis stuff that you did recently. But we'll dive into a little more of that self-care is healthcare stuff. So have a wonderful week, everyone.
Take it easy. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Ciao.
Thanks for checking out this episode. We hope you learned something, or not. And if you haven't already, subscribe here to the Osteo Connection wherever you're listening.
And hey, it would mean the world to us if you would rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts.
And if you're still listening at this point, thanks, Mom. And if you're offended how much we've made fun of Jason, tune in next week and be sure to share with a friend.